वाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरे नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10th चैप्टर 85th लॉर्ड कृष्णा इंस्ट्रक्ट्स वसुदेव Text 38 and repeat behind me. Sa Indra Seno Bhagavat Padam Bhujam Vibran Muhu Prema Vibhinnaya Dhiya Uvachahanand Jalakulekshana प्रहिष्ट रोमानिप गद्गदाक्षरम् साइंद्रसेनो भगवत्पदाम्बुजम् विब्रन् मुहु प्रेम विभिन्नया धिया उवाचहानंद जलाकुलेक्षणा प्रहिष्ट रोमानिप गद्गदाक्षरम् Indrasena, Bali who conquered the army of Indra, Bhagavat of the Supreme Lords, Padambujam, the lotus feet, Vibrat, taking hold of, Muhu, repeatedly, Prema, out of love, Vibhinnaya, which was melting, Dhiya, from his heart, Uvachaha said, Ananda, caused by his ecstasy. Jala, with water, tears. Akul, filled. Ikshana, whose eyes. Prahishta, standing erect. Roma, the hair on whose limbs. Nipa, O King Parikshit. Gadgad, choking. Aksharam, whose syllables. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: taking hold of the Lord's lotus feet again and again, Bali, the conqueror of Indra's army, spoke from his heart, which was melting out of his intense love. O King, as tears of ecstasy filled his eyes and the hair on his limbs stood on end, he began to speak with faltering words. Srila Prabhupada described this scene as follows in Krishna. King Bali was feeling such transcendental pleasure that he repeatedly grasped the lotus feet of the Lord and kept them on his chest. And sometimes he put them on the top of his head. And in this way he was feeling transcendental bliss. Tears of love and affection began to flow down from his eyes and all his hair stood on end. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shadakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Manchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhevacha Paritanam Pavanebhyo Vishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Rama Ramo Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, I'll just read the translation once again. Taking hold of the Lord's lotus feet again and again, Bali, the conqueror of Indra's army, spoke from his heart, which was melting out of his intense love. O King, as tears of ecstasy filled his eyes, the hair on his limbs stood on end, he began to speak with faltering words. So, we are discussing 10th canto, and this is the 8th canto topic. Bali Maharaj. Actually, Krishna and Balaram, they are visiting Sutal Loka on the request of Mother Devaki. Right? So Mother Devaki heard that Krishna and Balaram gave an amazing farewell gift to Sandipani Muni, right? Which is not possible for anyone. They retrieved back his dyed son from Yamloka. So Mother Devaki also, you know, her heart also felt that she should also have her children back. Right? So, especially her 6 sons who had been killed by Kamsa. So she requested Krishna and Balaram. So now Krishna and Balaram have come to Sutal Loka to retrieve those sons. And Bali Maharaj is receiving Krishna and Balaram. Right? So therefore, Bali Maharaj seeing the lotus feet of the two lords, his heart is melting. He is holding these two lotus feet on his chest again and again. And tears are coming from his eyes. So that is a verse which we are discussing today. So, we will discuss just briefly about the lotus feet of the Lord, what they represent. And then we will discuss from CC today about Bhakti Lata. It's the creeper of devotional service which ultimately finds its shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? So, the lotus feet of the Lord are, you know, mentioned so many times again and again. And pure devotees, they eternally reside at Krishna's lotus feet. Right? If you ask the permanent address of pure devotees, then it will be Krishna's lotus feet. That will be the main. So the lotus feet of the Lord, they are the eternal shelter for all the devotees, and it also represents eternal service. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami offered his obeisances to Radha Madan Mohan by saying, Jayatam Surato Pangur Mama Manda Mater Gati Mat Sarvasva Padam Bojo Radha Madan Mohan. Right? So he glorifies them and he says, although I am lame, ill-advised, but the lotus feet of Radha Madan Mohan, they are everything for me. Mat sarvasu padam bojo. They are everything for me. Right? So they are my only shelter and they are my only service. So there is a beautiful verse in second canto which describes Dhautatma Purusha Krishna Padamulam Namunchati Mukta Sarva Pariklesha Panthaso Sharanam Gataha. So describe that Pantha so sharanam gataha. Every living entity is on a kind of journey. Right? So when a person is on a long journey, you know, he is out from his house and he has to stay someplace, he has to eat, you know, whatever is available. You know, some devotees, especially who travel in the West or in Russia, they come and share experience, you know, that we were actually desperate for this kind of prasad. You know, sometimes in the kitchen they come and share. I'm traveling for a long time. Right? Dhautatma Purusha Krishna Padamulam Namunchati. So there are many kind of kleshas. You know, when you travel, especially outside, for a long term, you are outside of your house, outside of their native place, right? And just traveling and staying at different places, eating whatever is available, and working very hard. So it's quite klesha, right? So every living entity is on a journey and is meeting so many kind of difficulties, adverse situations, like kleshas. So when this such a traveler, such a person, he comes back to his house, right? Then he feels a sense of shelter, right? Mukta sarva pariklesha pantha so sharanam gataha. Pantha traveler, he comes to his house. Then he is relieved, you know, he has come to his house and now he can be comfortably situated. He has no anxiety of what he will eat, where, you know, in what situation will he take rest, or, you know, who will take care of his needs, etc. Okay. Similarly, a living entity, ultimately traveling in so many, through so many species of life, through so many difficult situations, when the living entity come to know about Krishna's lotus feet, start worshipping the Lord's lotus feet, then it's like a person who has been traveling for a long time, a long journey, very hard journey, and he finally comes to his house. Right? He has found the shelter. And now, mukta sarva pariklesha. Right? He will be soon freed from all the, you know, tribulations and difficulties. So therefore the the Lord's lotus feet, they are the eternal shelter, right, for all the living entities. And we can experience that after coming to Krishna consciousness. So, the lotus feet also represent service, which the devotee feel increasing satisfaction in serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Prabhupada says, unless in the sixth chapter of Adi Leela, unless one is invigorated with the feelings of servitude, right, Prabhupada used the term invigorated, he cannot understand the emotions of devotional service. Right? So actually, the emotions exchanged between Krishna and his devotees, Prabhupada at another place writes, that constitutes the highest mystery of the spiritual world. The exchange of emotions between Krishna and the devotees constitutes the highest mystery of the spiritual world. Prabhupada used that, you know. And another place is, this exchange of emotions between Krishna and the devotees is the greatest opulence of the spiritual world. Right? So that great, Prabhupada writes at another place that how this this loving exchange, it constitutes the highest opulence of the spiritual world. The exchange of bhava, exchange of love, or loving service between the Lord and the devotees is one of the greatest opulence. So, and in the second, one of the purport of the third canto, Prabhupada again says, to the degree we enter the service of the Lord, to that degree, we will be able to understand something about this mystery, something about this highest opulence of the spiritual world, to the degree we enter into the service of the Lord. Right? Just like Gaurav Bala Prabhu yesterday described, you know, this about Radharani Tattva and the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, this is like Koti Samudra Gabhir. Right? You know, there is no end to it, but to the degree you enter into service of Krishna, to that degree one can understand. So so we will discuss briefly about, as I said, about the growth of Bhakti Lata, right? So this Bhakti Lata, it begins here in the material world. But its ultimate destination is Krishna's lotus feet in the spiritual world. Right? So it connects, its Bhakti Lata connects a devotee, right, while he is still in the material world, to Krishna's lotus feet in the spiritual world. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described this Bhakti Lata to Rupa Goswami very concisely in chapter 19 of Madhya Leela. So the Lord says, Eita Brahmand Bhari Ananta Jivagan Chorasi Lakshayoni Te Kareye Brahman. This world is filled with Ananta Jivagan, unlimited living entities. And they are wandering in the 84 lakh species of life. And Prabhupada quotes this verse giving the breakup of 84 lakh species in the purport, which Prabhupada would also quote in lectures. Jalaja navalakhani sthavara lakshavimshiti krameo rudra sankhyaha pakshinam dashalakshanam trimshal lakshani pashava chatur lakshani manava. Right? Out of 84, 9 lakh are aquatics. Sthavara lakshavimshiti, those who can't move, they are 20 lakh. Krameo Rudra Sankhyaha, 11 lakh are insect species, those who crawl. Pakshinam Dashalakshanam, 10 lakh bird species. Trimshal Lakshani Pashava, 30 lakh animals maximum. Chatu Lakshani Manava, Manava descendants of Manu, Manava, there are only 4 lakh. So, out of 84 lakh, the maximum are the animals, the minimum are the humans, right, the manavas. So, Mahaprabhu describes that. And the human species are minimum, and the, you know, the population in human species also the minimum. In each species of other living entities, there is a lot of population. So the population explosion is not much actually in human being than in the other species of life. You know, Kramayo Rudra Sankhya, you can see in the form, you know, when the rainy season, you know, there are millions of insects, you know, in one small place you will find. So, that is about the different species. Then, after describing 84, the Lord says, Taramadhyasthavara jangamadui bhed, jangametiryaga jalasthalacharavi bhed. So, broadly, 84 are divided into two, sthavar and jangam. Right? Those who can't move, those who can move. Right? So, among those who can move, then there are those who are jalachar, thalachar and navachar. They move in either on land or on in the sky or in the water. And that is further division the Lord gives. Taramadhe manushya jati ati alpatar, taramadhe malecha pulin bodha shabar. So the human beings are very rare. Among the moving entities, human beings are very rare. And among the human beings, most are malechas, pulindas, bodha and shabaras. Basically uncivilized people. They have no knowledge of anything connected with the Vedas. There are some law books for mankind. There are some rules and regulations to be lived by, right? They are unaware of, they have no clue that such a thing exists also, right? So, therefore, they have also been described as animalistic people. Bhagavatam called them animals, right? So, human beings are very rare. Among human beings, most are animals also. Right? That's what Mahaprabhu here is describing. So the animal species, you know, the count has to be added further. Right? So, then, very few among the human species, they know that something like, there is something like the Vedic civilization, Vedic culture, Vedic rules and regulation. Those who have Vedanishtha, so Mahaprabhu categorized them into two, Vedanishtha. Those who have no Vedanishtha, they are again animalistic. Vedanishtha madhe ardeka veda mukhe mane, Vedanishidha papa kare dharma nahi gane. Those who have Vedanishtha, half of them only give lip service, they only talk about it. They have nothing to do actually, as far as practice is concerned. Half of them, Mahaprabhu then again brings them on this side, right? To the other species who are the animalistic. Mahaprabhu says, Ardhek Ved Mukhemani, they only give lip service, actually don't follow anything. Right? Ved Nishid Paap Kare Dharma Nahi Gani. They will act opposite to the Vedas. Right? And there is no consideration of any regulative principles. So, further Mahaprabhu describes, Dharmachari madhe bahut karmanisht, koti karmanisht madhe ek jnani shresht. So now, those who are not just following by moving the lips, but who actually follow the Vedic regulation, that dharmachari, they only follow that section where there is a enjoyment is promised. Right? So they are karmanishta. Their nishta is to perform fruitive activities and enjoy the fruits. Right? So bahut means a majority of the remaining, right? Probably somewhere close to 90%. Right? They are karmanishta. Those who have remained as dharma, those who have Vedanishtha, most of them are karmanishta. They want to enjoy. right? Or actually, not even 90%, much more than that. Right? Because the next line says, Koti karma nishta madhe ek jnani shresht. Out of such millions of those who are karma nishta, one person, one jnani, who realizes that fruitive activities is only a source of misery. Right? There is no point in trying to enjoy in this world. It's all a source of miseries, right? Whatever fruitive activities you perform, surely there will be, you know, it will be mixed fruits. Right? There is no pure fruit of enjoyment in this world. No one can be completely pious in this world. Because when the messengers of Vishnu, they asked Yamdutas, hey, whom all you take to Yamlok? You have some category, some checklist. He said, everyone who perform fruitive activity, they are candidates for Yamloka. You may say, but pious, no one can be completely pious. He said, in this world, they will be forced to perform sinful activities. So all the karmanist people who are acting in this world, performing fruitive activity, we just take one and all. Right? So there is not much sorting out. They say, right? We just take them all. Right? So therefore the fruits of karma cannot be pure enjoyment. Because a person invariably performs sinful activities while performing, you know, pious activities. Right? So no one can be very clever in this world, you know. So the Krishna's arrangement is here. In this world, anyone pious activities, sin will definitely be performed. So one person, one intelligent person understands that all fruitive activities, you know, even if they are pious, pious may be less, it may be less botheration, but eventually, you know, one will remain in the material world at some point of the time, may land into sinful life, so it's a cause of miseries. Right? So one out of a million may realize this fact, and he may cease performing fruitive activities. So Prabhupada says in the purport, Karmanishta refers to one who aspires to enjoy the result of his good work and pious activity. Right? Whether one earns, then Prabhupada talks about earning money, whether one earns money for himself or for the public benefit, he is called Karmanishta. Out of millions of karmanishts, there may be one who is wise. Those who try to avoid fruitive activity and who become silent. They are intelligent, they are not the most intelligent. Right? But they are intelligent than those who are simply concerned about or obsessed with the trying to enjoy in this world. Right? So, therefore a jnani who comes to the knowledge, who can see the futility of the fruitive activity and the futility of this material world, that person is intelligent. Koti jnani madhye hai ek jana mukt, koti mukta madhye durlab ek Krishna bhakt. So, koti jnani madhye hai ek jana mukt. Out of such millions of jnanis, right? Now you can't even calculate the percentage of remaining people because one out of koti is 10 million. One out of 10 million, that proportion is being, you know, separated further and further. Right? So, koti jnani madhye hai ek jana mukt. Only out of millions of such jnanis, one may actually become mukt. Other than simply considering them to be mukt. Right? Other jnanis. Yenne ramind aksh vimukt maninas. Maninas in the 10th canto, this verse comes. Ye anne arvindaksh mukta maninas. They consider themselves to be mukta, right? But they actually again land up in this material world, right? So that is described in 10.2.32. Ye anne arvindaksh mukta maninas. So Prabhupada says, those who search after the knowledge of impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma are certainly accepted as liberated, but due to their imperfect knowledge, they are described in Srimad Bhagavatam as Vimukta Manina. since their knowledge is imperfect, their conception of liberation is imperfect. Perfect knowledge is possible when one knows the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if they remain at that platform, considering themselves to be mukt, they may fall down from there if they do not progress, right? And the search after the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So among qualities of such jnanis, one person may actually be mukta. Right? So Prabhupada at one place write, instead of becoming one with Krishna, they become one with material activities. You know, those who are considering themselves to be mukta. Right? So they instead of becoming one with Krishna, they become one with material activities, Prabhupada says. So only one actually may attain liberation out of kotis of such people. And koti mukta madhye durlab ek Krishna bhakt. Amongst millions of those who may actually attain liberation, a devotee of Krishna is to be found very rarely. Right? So once Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was asking his disciple, he said, daily morning, right, we offer pranam to the Vaishnavas and we say, Anant Koti Vaishnav Rind Ki Jai. He said, where are these Anant Koti Vaishnavas? Koti Mukta Madhe Durlab Ek Krishna Bhakt. Right? And we in the morning say, Anant Koti Vaishnav Rind Ki Jai. Right? So he said, where are these Anant Koti Vaishnavas to be found? Right? Then he himself answered, he said, only when Mahaprabhu descends, his Anant Koti Vaishnavas descend along with him. Otherwise, in this material world, a Vaishnava is rarely to be seen. You know that what Mahaprabhu is talking of. It's very rare to find a pure devotee of the Lord. Right? And actually, you know, we have fortune, we have such a great fortune that we are able to, you know, hear from Prabhupada. You know, we can hear from so many disciples of Prabhupada who have seen him. Right? Who is one such Koti Mukta Madhya Durlab Ek Krishna Bhakt. Right? We still have his direct vani to be heard. Right? We can see his videos. We can read his purports. Right? So therefore, you can imagine what kind of rare fortune what Mahaprabhu is bringing down from 84 lakh species to that one devotee of Krishna. Right? How rare that is, and that is you know, that good fortune we have obtained actually by mercy of Mahaprabhu. The opportunity to hear from Prabhupada, to be guided by his books, to be guided by his disciples, right? And the society of devotees Prabhupada has created. So, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the characteristic of such a devotee of the Lord. Krishna bhakta nishkam at eva shanta bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakaliya shanta. So, because the devotee of the Lord Krishna is desireless, he is peaceful. Fruity workers desire material enjoyment, jnanis desire liberation, and yogis desire material opulence. Therefore, they are all lusty and cannot be peaceful. So, even those who desire liberation from this material existence, they have been called as kamis in this verse. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami. Right? Those who desire sense enjoyment, bhukti, liberation, yogic perfection, they all are kamis. And Prabhupada says lusty desires. Therefore, they cannot be peaceful. They cannot be peaceful. Right? So, there was Srutukriti Prabhu shares one pastime of Prabhupada, where Prabhupada was sitting in his Los Angeles garden. He's very famous. This Los Angeles garden was very dear to Prabhupada. Once I asked some devotees a question in Vidyapeet that why was this garden dear to Prabhupada? Someone said there were very nice roses, someone said there were very nice jasmines, etc. But Prabhupada told Shuddha Kirti Prabhu that this garden is very dear to me because Tulsi is growing here abundantly. Wherever there is Tulsi, there is Vrindavan. Right? So that are the words of Prabhupada, you know. So we think in terms of fragrant flowers, but Prabhupada would be reminded of Vrindavan. So therefore this Los Angeles garden was dear to him. So a parents of a disciple came to meet Prabhupada, and they were talking to him, and they said, Prabhupada, the devotees do not look very ambitious. Right? Devotees do not look very ambitious. Prabhupada said, yes, devotee have no ambition. You know, he simply wants to render some service to Krishna. So then other disciples they saw, you know, they were like surprised. Devotee has no ambition. So they wanted to, you know, they wanted to make sure that these parents, they understand what Prabhupada means to say. So one of the disciples, senior disciples, he clarified. He said, what Prabhupada means to say is, devotee has no material ambitions. Devotee has spiritual ambition. Prabhupada said, no. Prabhupada cut him. Said, no, a devotee has no ambition. He simply wants to serve Krishna. So often sometimes disciples would think that, you know, Prabhupada may not be aware what the message they are getting, or Prabhupada is not able to put into the Western mind what he wants to convey, or not able to understand what the other party is understanding. But Prabhupada very well knew what he wants to say, and he also knew what the other person is understanding. It's not that he would not know that. He was completely aware of, you know, what the message other fellow is getting and what I want to convey. So Prabhupada said, no, devotee has no ambition. He simply wants to serve Krishna. Right? So, because even in spiritual ambitions, we have our own personal ambitions also. Basically, we dovetail our ambitions in Krishna's ambition. Right? So Prabhupada here was pointing out that pure desire, you know, that bhukti mukti siddhi kami, right? There is absolutely no desire. A devotee just wants to surrender some service to Krishna. That's it. Right? So Prabhupada was filtering out all, you know, personal or other ambitions that may be there in the name of spiritual ambition. Right? Our spiritual ambitions are not that purely spiritual ambition also. Right? We have to accept that we have many material ambitions and we dovetail them in Krishna's service. So they can't be fully accepted as spiritual ambition. Right? Spiritual ambition is totally everything done wholly and solely for the pleasure of Krishna. Right? That is, so therefore that Prabhupada was separating out. Devotee just wants to render some service to Krishna. Right? Therefore he is completely peaceful. Right? So sometime when our mind is disturbed, we can look, you know, that even in Krishna's service, probably when we face some reverses, setbacks, you know, we are very much disturbed. Whether my ambitions are facing setbacks or Krishna's service is facing setback. Right? So it is most of the time our own ambitions may face a setback during our service to Krishna, and then we may be very much disturbed. Because it may happen, I am saying, you know, it's not it may not always be that Krishna's ambitions or Krishna's service is that being upset by somebody and then we are disturbed. It could be otherwise also. Right? So bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanta, and the devotee is completely peaceful. Of course, again for Krishna's service the devotee takes anxiety, there is no doubt about that. Right? Devotee takes anxiety, but this anxiety is not this ashanta which we here use. That anxiety is the source of actually ecstasy. The anxiety of the devotee, sort of ecstasy, this loss of peace, ashanta, you know, is experienced when there is a setback in one's personal ambitions, or the word kami is used. So all other spiritual practitioners, even those who are desire liberation, they are spiritual practitioners, but they have these personal motivations. Therefore they are kamis. They have some desires. So in this way Prabhupada explains, it's a quite a beautiful purport Prabhupada gives, explaining this concept. Then Prabhupada, here Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami quotes a verse from 6th canto to describes about the rare position of a pure devotee. Muktanam avisiddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prashantatma kotishvapi mahamune. Right? So this verse says, Muktanam avisiddhanam narayana parayana. O great sage, out of many millions of materially liberated people who are free from ignorance, and out of many millions of siddhas who have nearly attained perfection, there is hardly one pure devotee of Narayan. Only such a devotee is actually completely satisfied and peaceful. Sudurlabha prashantatma. So it's mentioned that out of many millions of advanced sages, not the ordinary sages, right, in the Maharlok, Janalok, Taplok, and among millions of advanced devatas, you know, a devotee of the Lord is rarely to be found. One pure devotee of the Lord to be found. Right?
So this verse also substantiates that Siddhanta which we discuss. Right? So, after describing the rare position of Krishna's devotee, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes how a living entity wandering in the 84 lakh species of life may come to achieve the rare fortune of becoming a pure devotee. Right? So, how, you know, a person who has been crawling, who may have an insect-like existence, may become a pure devotee of the Lord. Right? Who is so rare as described in these verses. So, Mahaprabhu describes that journey or that growth of Bhakti Lata. Brahmanda Bhramite Kon Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata Bij. So, the awakening of good fortunes, Kon Bhagyavan Jeev, some rare fortunate soul may get the seed of devotional service. Right? By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, Paye Bhakti Lata Bij. Right? Brahmanda Bhramite. So, Prabhupada says, when we speak of Brahmanda, we refer to the whole universe or to the cluster of millions of universes. Okay, that is Brahmanda. And Kaun Bhagyavan Jeev, he may obtain. So Prabhupada says, our Krishna consciousness movement is rendering service to humanity by giving everyone a chance to be intimately related with this movement. So that more and more people may have access to this good fortune. We have started this Krishna conscious movement. You know, because Brahmanda Bharamita Kaun Bhagyavan Jeev. Right? So the more the Krishna conscious movement is spread, the more chances are there that some living entity may get the rare fortune. Right? Or Prabhupada, in the next purport, he describes that it's like, you know, we are distributing the seeds at various places. So some Bhagyavan Jeev may obtain a seed. Right? So the more we throw out the seeds, like even in the books, when we distribute books, we are throwing out the seed. So Kaun Bhagyavan Jeev may actually take it up. Right? We are sowing the seeds. So in many ways we sow the seeds. Right? Bhakti Lata Beej. So Prabhupada also describes very beautifully about the beej. Prabhupada says, Bhakti Lata Beej means the seed of devotional service. Any idea, program, plan or device there is, first of all, for any idea, program, plan or device, there is first of all the contemplation of the plan. Right? And that is called the beej or the seed, the initial contemplation. Right? Just like yesterday, one person came to visit. He said, you know, I was just thinking I should visit this temple. It's so nearby to my place. Right? So, because there is a facility, there is a temple, so there is a contemplation. You know, I can visit, today is Radha Ashtami, I should visit. So then, you know, one of the devotees called that person. Then it was confirmed, you know. He said, oh, you know, I was just contemplating you called me, I must come. Even though there is Ganpati Visarjan, you know, and it will take a long time, but I must come. You know, yesterday, you know, because there is an initial contemplation and the devotee's connection. So that gave the conviction. Right? So in this way, that person visited. Right? So that this beej, right? So we sow many beej in different way. For some living entity may take up a good fortune. Then Prabhupada says, further, now, as we said, when we give out the books and we do many things, that is one beej, which is like a dormant bee. Some living entity may come in contact and it may start fructifying. Prabhupada describes active bee also in the purport. Right? So Prabhupada says the method, rules and regulations by which one is perfectly trained in devotional service constitutes the Bhakti Lata Beach. Right? So I would like to repeat, you can, this is very beautiful comprehensive definition by Prabhupada. The methods, rules and regulations by which one is perfectly trained in devotional service constitute the Bhakti Lata Beach. This is basically when a person becomes ready to be trained, he becomes ready to take initiation. Right? He becomes ready to accept all the rules and regulations. That becomes like an active seed, Bhakti Lata Beej. Now it will start sprouting immediately. Right? Other seed may be dormant, it may be there. Then Prabhupada says, if one is fortunate enough to receive Bhakti Lata Beej from the spiritual master, he instead cultivates such seed. If one is not fortunate enough to receive the Bhakti Lata Beej from the spiritual master, he instead cultivates such seed as Karma Beej, Gyan Beej, Political Beej, Social Beej, Philanthropic Beej. So many Beejas, Prabhupada says. So everyone is cultivating, everyone is contemplating, everyone is cultivating some seed or the other. Right? And Prabhupada said different seeds, different Beejas. The Bhakti Lata Beej can be received only through the mercy of spiritual master. So this definition of active, receiving active seed, active, is receiving commitment for initiation. Right? Bhakti Lata Beej is the origin of devotional service, Prabhupada further describes. Right? So therefore, Mahaprabhu says, Maliha yakare sei bij aropan, Shavana kirtane jale kariye se chan. Everyone should become a gardener. Right? Earlier also at another point has been said. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants everyone to learn gardening. Right? This gardening is very important. Please receive the seed and garden it well. Right? Mali, become a gardener. Right? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself says, I have come and I am myself the gardener. Right? I am sowing the seed. I am myself becoming the tree, you know, my devotees and my branches and the fruits. So that is all described. Mahaprabhu says, I am the seed, I am the trunk, I am the gardener, you know, of this Bhakti Kalpa Vriksh. That's another analogy. But here in Mahaprabhu is instructing everyone, Mali Haiya, everyone should become a gardener. Sow this seed, and after sowing the seed, first thing is, start watering the seed. Shravana kirtana jale kare ese chan. Please water the seed by the process of shravan and kirtan. So Prabhupada makes the definition of watering even more comprehensive. Right? So Prabhupada says, to worship the deities by the process of shravan kirtan. Prabhupada includes deity worship in. So Prabhupada then gives instruction that only Shravan Kirtan is meant for highly developed devotees like Haridas Thakur, right, who can exclusively engage in Shravan Kirtan without deity worship. However, one should not falsely imitate Thakur Haridas and abandon deity worship just to try to engage in Shravan Kirtan. This is not possible for neophyte devotees. So therefore, Shravan Kirtan, although it's mentioned here, Prabhupada includes deity worship, right, of which integral part is also Shravan Kirtan. They are very much correlated. So, to hear and chant Krishna and worship Him by this process, right? This process is the integral part. That is like giving the water to the seed. Okay? So, further, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes, Upajiya barelata brahmanda bhedi yae viraja brahma loka bhedi parvayoma pae. So this bhakti has been described as lata herein. Prabhupada points out that a creeper generally takes shelter of a big tree. But the bhakti lata, being the creeper of spiritual energy, cannot take shelter of any material planet or any other
material shelter in general. It can only take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. This bhakti lata, first of all, Prabhupada described this is lata. Lata means at no stage lata is independent. Lata always needs the support. You see, you know, at any stage you can't say, okay, now lata needs the support, it's grown well, remove the support. Lata is on the ground then. Right? Lata for its growth needs the support. Therefore, at no point of time, our bhakti is independent of mercy of Krishna, mercy of the spiritual master. Right? So that is the one significance of lata, which Prabhupada points out. And secondly, this lata actually cannot have any support in this material world, Prabhupada says. The only shelter for the lata is Krishna's lotus feet. Right? So we started with this verse where Bali Maharaj is worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord and he's feeling great love and affection. Right? So and I said we will describe this bhakti lata, which has no other shelter other than the lotus feet of Krishna. Right? So then it's further described.
तबे याई तदुपरी गोलोक वृंदावन कृष्ण चरण कल्प वृक्षे करे आरोहन.
Right, so this bhakti lata grows, it goes to Goloka Vrindavan and it takes shelter of Krishna Charan Kalpa Vriksh, the desire tree of Krishna's lotus feet, and it takes shelter over there. Right? So
taha vistarit haiya phale prema phal iha mali seche nitya shavarnadi jal.
There this bhakti lata produces fruits, and here the gardener continues to water the bhakti lata. Iha mali seche nitya shravanadi jal. So Prabhupada then gives the definition of fruit. What is this fruit this bhakti lata produces? Right? We know the fruit is premphal. It's mentioned in the verse. It's premphal, but Prabhupada gives again a comprehensive definition. One should not have any sentimental understanding of this premphal. Prabhupada says, the fruit of devotional creeper is the pure desire to serve and please the senses of Krishna. The fruit is the pure desire to please Krishna, to serve Krishna. Right? That is the fruit. So this bhakti lata produces fruit. This fruit is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. You may say, hey, you know, we sacrifice so much in the material world with a promise, you know, that we will get the ultimate fruit. And fruit also to be offered to Krishna. What is for me? Right? You know, mere ko khali pili itna promise kiya, you know, now fruit has come and that also say offer it to Krishna. You know, kind of a person may think. But what is meant for us is the Mahaprasad of the Lord. Right? That fruit when Krishna tastes, it becomes, you know, million times more relishable. Right? And that which a devotee tastes. So that is the fruit of the creeper of devotional service. And Prabhupada says the watering process continues even at that point of time. This watering process actually always continues. Right? It never stops. Prabhupada says it is said that the watering of the creeper must continue. Ihama lise che nitya shavanadi jal. It is not that at a certain stage one can stop chanting and hearing and become a mature devotee. Prabhupada writes here. If one stops, one certainly falls down from devotional service. Although one may be very much exalted in devotional service, he should not give up the watering process of Shravan Kirtan. If one gives up that process, it is due to an offense. This is described in the following verse. Okay? So, no matter however exalted a person becomes, one can never give up the process of Shravan and Kirtan. A person may be, you know, the strongest person, the strongest wrestler, but you don't feed him for 3 days. Where is the strength? Right? Even one day, you know, 3 days too much in Kali Yoga. You know, people can't tolerate skipping one meal. One day if a person doesn't eat, next day where will be the strength? Right? So it's quite obvious that herein that no one can Prabhupada says, stops this watering process. This is our nourishment. Right? And one cannot become a so-called mature devotee, as Prabhupada points out herein. So, Prabhupada says in another purport of CC, he says, we have opened hundreds of centers all over the world just to give people in general a chance to hear about Krishna. Right? So that people with their contemplation, with the devotees, with the spiritual master's mercy, when the devotees go out, they receive a seed so that they can have a facility of continuous watering. Right? So some people may not be able to sufficiently water during the weekdays. A weekend Prabhupada started, you know, Sunday love feast. So there will be a good amount of watering, you know, and then people feel, at least 1 week, even if during the week, I'm not able to sufficiently water, this will go on, you know, kind of. So, continuous watering is important in some way or the other. Right? So Prabhupada says, for that purpose, we have opened so many centers. Right? Water filling stations. This nectarian water of Shravan Kirtan, which Krishna's mercy is there in this water. So, yes, then after describing this, one very important topic is described, that there has to be certain cautions now. You know, a person has sown Bhakti Lata Beej, he is watering them, there is a fruit, he is pure desire to serve Krishna. There is a certain cautions. Yadi Vaishnava Parad Uthe Hathi Mata Upadeva Chinde Tar Shukhiyae Pata. So, if a devotee commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava while cultivating the creeper of devotional service in the material world, his offense is compared to a mad elephant that uproots the creeper and breaks it. In this way, the leaves of the creeper are dried up. So this whole creeper, you know, whatever growth may be, as soon as there are offenses, the whole creeper is finished. Right? So Prabhupada says two things in this purport. Two important things. Prabhupada says, giving up the regulative principles and living according to one's whims, becoming independent. Right? One gives up the regulative principle given by spiritual master and becomes independent. That is compared to mad elephant, Prabhupada says. Second, Prabhupada says, as soon as one is deviated from the instruction of the spiritual master, the uprooting of Bhakti Lata begins. As soon as the instruction of spiritual master are minimized. Right? The uprooting begins at that point of itself. Right? So these two points Prabhupada makes in this regard. Tate mal yatnakari kare avaran aparadha hastira yaiche nahai udgam. So it is the duty of a mali to fence the creeper all around so that the powerful elephant of offenses may not enter. So there has to be strong fencing. Right? What is that strong fencing? Prabhupada describes again two points here in this purport. What is the strong fencing? The neophyte devotee while the bhakti creeper is growing, the devotee must protect it by fencing all around. The neophyte devotee must be protected by being surrounded by pure devotees. He should make sure that he is surrounded by pure devotees, not just physically, but that he has a constant guidance from them. He is constantly hearing from them. He is constantly, you know, checking his progress according to the guidance and direction of the pure devotees. Right? There is a small thing in this regard. Nityodit Prabhu, he had come from New Vrindavan and we had gone for Pune temple inauguration. And while coming back, I asked Prabhuji, please like to sit in the front seat of the vehicle. He said, no, I'll sit in the middle. And spontaneously he said, I want to be surrounded by the devotees. In the middle seat, you know, of the vehicle. So it's a three, you know, it's an Innova like, in the front, then the middle and the back. So I want to sit in the middle, want to be surrounded by the devotees. Right? That's like a physical surrounding, but the mood, I'm just highlighting the mood. That even at that stage, you know, after practicing devotional service for so many years, almost a life since they met Prabhupada, he feels he wants to be surrounded by the devotees. Right? So surrounded by the devotees is having
We can also understand surrounding by the devotee means that we keep ourselves accountable to devotees. Because after 10-15 years, we can surely have a will that we may not be accountable to anyone. You know, that is because, you know, a person grows, then he is okay, fine, you know, you carry out your services, etc. So, accountability after, say, 10 years or so, or could be even less, you know, accountability may not be enforced or even asked or sometimes expected also. But if we ourselves voluntarily keep ourselves accountable to senior devotees, that keeps us protected. This is for us, the fencing. So Prabhupada mentions here that we are accountable, we are constantly taking guidance. That is like a strong fence actually. That's a very powerful fence against a powerful elephant of offenses. Then Prabhupada says, strictly following the regularity principles given by the spiritual master. That's another strong offense. Right? So to be accountable, taking guidance and spiritual master instruction, one dedicates oneself to following that, that's constitute another very strong offense where the mad elephant cannot come to destroy the bhakti lata. So these 2 points Prabhupada gives in this purport. That's the one caution of avoiding offenses with offense. Second caution is given of regarding this bhakti lata. Kintu yati lata rasange uthe upashakha bhukti mukti vanchayat asankhyatara lekha. Now, second thing is the unwanted creeper may grow along with bhakti creeper. Right? Nishiddhachara kutinati jivahimsan labh puja pratishta adiyat upashakha gan. Some unnecessary creeper growing with the bhakti creeper are creepers of behavior unacceptable for those trying to attain perfection. Diplomatic behavior, animal killing, mundane profiteering, mundane adoration, mundane importance, all these are unwanted creepers. So, Prabhupada describes each in detail. We will not be able to go. But Prabhupada makes a very important point that Prabhupada says that sometimes, important point here is, sometimes this unwanted creeper look exactly like bhakti creeper. They look exactly like bhakti creeper. They may not be distinguished. Because what distinguishes bhakti is not just external act, but it's a desire to please Krishna. Even if one performing an activity externally of bhakti, but it is the desire to please Krishna is not there, then that activity, although externally looking like this creeper, is not bhakti lata. It's a upshakha. Just to give a small example, once Shamanpur was sharing, he took one newly joined brahmachari and to his only Radhana Swami Maharaj, and he said, Maharaj, he is so enthusiastic to, you know, clean the toilets, you know, clean the toilets in the ashram, you know, so very menial service. So his only Radhana Swami Maharaj looked at him and said, one can become proud even of cleaning toilets, right? So even by cleaning toilets, what shakha is being watered? The bhakti shakha is being watered, or this unwanted creeper is being watered? Another example, Bhaktivinoda Saraswati Thakur, there was one brahmachari who had, you know, picked up just book from the temple bookshop without telling anyone. He was reading all these books. Bhaktivinoda Thakur found out. He said, you may become a great pandit, but you will miss becoming a devotee. Your upashakha may grow, but this bhakti lata shakha may just remain as it is. And a practitioner may think, you know, he may receive a lot of adoration from common spectators, etc. You know, you quoted so many shlokas in the class, etc. You know, such a nice class you gave. Your bhakti is growing, right? And but actually, upashakha may be growing. You know, or you led such a beautiful kirtan, you cooked such a feast, etc. But if what is shakha is being watered by that activity has to be seen, right? Where is the water going? Right, the upashakha is growing, which looks exactly like bhakti shakha, and not just that, this upashakha grows faster than bhakti shakha. So there is a further more inspiration to water this upashakha. Right,
And Prabhupada says only a pure devotee can detect bhakti shaka from upshaka. You know, we may be able to, not able to detect at all. You know, there is an instance in Chaitanya Charitamrit where there was a poet who came and he wrote a poem glorifying Lord Jagannath. And everyone glorified, all the devotees of Mahaprabhu. Swarup Damodar Goswami pointed out a fault in that. He said, this is not at all glorification of the Lord. You know? So there are sometimes very, the desire for mundane adoration, profiteering, you know, for one's own personal ambition, they may come forth. We may not realize, Upashaka may grow, there may be a lot of congratulations. Bhakti is growing very nicely, looking similarly. Ordinary people cannot detect. Prabhupada says very clearly, a pure devotee can distinguish the bhakti creeper from the mundane creeper. Right? So he can point it out, which is growing. Right? And therefore one should be very alert in distinguishing by hearing from spiritual master, by guidance. And as soon as one detects this upashaka, one should immediately cut it off. Right? Mahaprabhu gives that. Right? Prathame hi upashakhar kareye chedhan, as soon as possible, one should not. Because this upashakha also produces fruits which are, you know, very good in texture, color, everything. Right? But these fruits have contained poison, actually. The fruits may look very good, you know, sometimes, now, in the market, they inject so many chemicals to make the fruit look very good. It's all filled with poison. So what may happen that if upashaka grows and it produces fruits, then that fruits will cause a lot of conflict, violence, misunderstanding among Vaishnava community. Right? These fruits are one of the causes for dissension, etc. You know, because it reached at that stage where the upashaka has grown and is now producing fruits. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns that this upashaka should be detected with the help of pure devotees and it should be uprooted immediately. Right? So that is important thing described over here in. So we will just then after this upashaka is destroyed, prema phala paki pade mali aswadai lata avalambi mali kalpa viksha pray. So in this way, if we can take care of these two cautions, avoid all the offenses and avoid this, uproot this upashakas, and upashakas grow from time to time again and again, it's a continuous process. Just like we are watering continuously, we have to be and watch for the upashakas who may take all the nutrition. Right? So this upashaka, if removed, the good fencing is there, good watering is there. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. So I'll just quickly complete this. Then one will get pure organic fruit of love of Godhead. That fruit will be very tasty and Krishna will enjoy that fruit and the mali will give the mahaprasad. Right? So we will just quickly see what is the beej and everything what Prabhupada describes, the beautiful definition for both the shaka and the upashaka. So for the main creeper, bhakti creeper, the beej is, Prabhupada says the active beej Prabhupada described is the method, rules and regulation by which one is trained in devotional service. That constitutes the beej. What is the beej for upashaka? The dormant desire to enjoy, that beej is there. It's like a dormant beej. As soon as one wants to become independent of, you know, wants to do one's own thing, that becomes the active seed of upashaka, unwanted creeper, the desire to independently do one's own thing. Then what is the watering? What constitutes the watering of the Bhakti Lata beach? Shravan Kirtan and worshipping the Lord, deity form. What constitutes the watering of upashaka? Prabhupada says, inattentive chanting waters the upashaka. The same thing when they are done inattentively. Right? they water the upshakha grows. Then what is the fruit of the bhakti lata? Prabhupada says the pure desire to serve Krishna. Right? And what is the fruit of, which is very sweet and organic, the fruit of unwanted creeper, its desire to satisfy one's own, you know, whims, one's own independent mentality, which is very, very poisonous and causes bitterness in the society. That is the fruit. What is the fence of this? To be surrounded by the devotees and to follow the regulative principles. Right? What is the fence for Upshaka? Upshaka also has strong fence. You know, sometimes we don't want the Upshaka to be, you know, to be, we can be protect. So again, our false ego also strongly protects the Upshaka. We don't want it to be uprooted, you know, because it may be painful. So there is a false ego which protects this Upshaka also. Right? In this way, all this has been described by, very beautifully elaborated by Prabhupada, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes that. Right? And if you see, what is our initiation vow? Our initiation vow is, you know, we accept initiation, we are receiving the beach, as it is described. Very clearly says, one receives the beach from spiritual master. So when we are receiving the seed, we promise the spiritual master that I will regularly water this seed and I will always be careful to protect it, right, by becoming servant of the servant. So initiation voice, I am receiving the seed, I will daily water it and I will carefully protect it. Right? That is initiation vow in one sense. So one thing which nourish this creeper very profusely is actually the mercy of Guru, the mercy of Vaishnava, the mercy of Srimati Radharani, you know, the original source of the mercy. You're like in GV, we have planted many, many seeds, you know, before the rainy season. They all are growing up very nicely because there is a rain of mercy. Right? So our Shravan Kirtan constitute watering, but when there is a rain of mercy, right, coming from Srimati Radharani, then this Bhakti Lata Beej grows profusely. Right? Bhakti Lata Beej grows profusely. And there is a beautiful verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Srimati Radharani. Govinda Nandini Radha Govinda Mohini Govinda Sarvasva Sarva Kanta Shiromani. So she is always providing pleasure to Krishna, right? And one of the things which pleases Krishna is when he sees the bhakti lata of the jiva growing, right? So Srimati Radharani especially bestows her mercy so that our bhakti lata creeper may grow and take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So all that is possible by her mercy and by her mercy coming through Prabhupada. Right? So we pray that by Prabhupada's mercy, who has explained all the things nicely, we may continuously keep watering our bhakti lata and fence it so that it may take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet and produce sweet organic fruits for the satisfaction of Krishna. Right? And we may have the Mahaprasad and be completely satisfied and free from all wants and needs. Thank you very much and I'm sorry for going very late. Jai Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.